Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Everybody, welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef just like your grandpa used to raise and the way nature intended. And all I can say is it's really, really good beef. And I've been working with those folks for about 16 years now and never had a bad piece of meat from there. Really true. We're talking with Greg Rempe from Barbecue Central. So a couple of things I didn't ask you in the regular show, but I wanted to ask you here. We have concerns, I think, with competition barbecue. Down at KCBS, they've got Emily Detweiler. Emily's been on my show, and I think she's been on your show. And I think she's trying to turn the ship around. But what are some of the things that, in your view, Greg, that they could do to improve competition barbecue?
Well, I think that competition barbecue needs to somehow get back on television. If you go back and look at where the what I would refer to as the golden era of competition barbecue, it was when Barbecue Pitmasters was on in whatever form it was taking at the time. There was a really good span of time where you could literally fall into watching something on Destination America or Travel Channel or Food Network. And it really inspired. I would have people on my show and, you know, the standard question to open up would be, you know, how did you get into this? And a lot of people said, well, I was watching Barbecue Pitmasters. And I said, I could do that. And you know how the story goes.
Yep.
So I think that's a big chunk that maybe people aren't considering in this whole, whether you want to call it a plateau or a decline in competition barbecue. But that's piece one. Piece two is, again, as you look over the history of where competition barbecue started and where we are today, there's no argument. It is very expensive to get into. There are evolutions of this sport that have taken place that just push a higher dollar investment, or perhaps I should say there is a perception that you need to go out and buy a huge motorhome or a big toy hauler. And if you don't have something to be able to pull that, you're going to have to buy that as well. And you have to buy all of these high-end beefs and porks and free-range chickens and all these other things. So where your investment was much smaller in, you know, 10 and 15 years ago, and obviously further back than that, now I don't think it's uncommon for a team to be into the $11, $12, $13, $1,500 range to lay out that type of expense for one competition. Mm-hmm. And what's the payout if you win? Are you winning back the money that you've laid out for that week? How many times a year are you doing that? There is no forward-facing portion of a barbecue contest. You can't show up as a spectator when you smell it, or maybe you see one going on by wherever the hell you are, and say, hey, can I have a rib or a section of brisket or pork? You know, the health code violations prohibit that. You can't sell it. There's vending issues, all this other thing. There are many hurdles that continue to work against competition barbecue. And let's be honest, it's not very exciting to watch. If you're shooting it for television, you can certainly package it in a way it makes it seem a little bit more expedient and urgent.
Right.
But in reality, it's long form. Even Hot and Fast is hours long. So it's not like watching the last 10 laps at Daytona when you know there's going to be a 20-car pileup. It's going to happen. It's going to wipe out 50%. That's not going to happen at a barbecue contest. So I think there was probably a point where it was popular. People thought there was going to be this huge jump to whatever this next level was going to be. And the next level has never arrived. So we're kind of at where we are. There's people that feel they might be a little bit more important than they really are, and there's agendas being pushed. But now with new leadership installed, I think they can at least get the ship righted better financially, more fit financially, and then from a marketing standpoint, bring it back out and try and secure sponsors and make it more fun, man. I mean, my show has gone away from covering competition barbecue to a large degree because it's not fun. Like, I'm not even interested in worrying about who's in first place in brisket in this sanctioning body or that sanctioning body. I don't even give a shit. So I don't have them on my show where 10 years ago I'd have three segments dedicated to this event and that event and that event and covering what the big event coming up over the weekend was. It's just not there anymore. The general public isn't clamoring for it anymore. So now my show has become way more backyard focused because that's where the money is and that's where the interest level is. And that's how my show has evolved.
You know, it's interesting you say that because when Emily was on my show, and especially in the after hours, I pushed that just exactly what you're saying. And it's no copycat because I just said we are ignoring the broad population with this. KCBS, I mean, they can do what they want. You're a member. I'm a member. That's OK. It doesn't matter. But you're ignoring the weekend warriors. And when I say that, I mean the guys that tailgate, the guys that have and families that have parties on their deck. That thing, you know, they're reaching out to Malcolm Reed and other people and Steve Reichlin and Meathead to see videos and stuff like that. That's great. Those guys are doing well with it. But I think as far as a membership association, and I like everybody there, the point is that we are ignoring a majority of the population. A majority of the population, Greg, just like you have and I have, they have a gas grill on their deck or their back porch or on their patio. And not all of those people have the time to do live fire stuff. They come home, they can turn on their grill. It can be warm in 15 minutes. They can cook their steak. They turn it off and they're done. And maybe on weekends, I'm on my soapbox, so forgive me, man. But, you know, on weekends, they have friends over. They're knocking back a couple beers. Maybe they went and played golf or they worked in the yard or whatever they did. Again, they can fire up the barbecue. They can cook the steaks, the burgers, the dogs, the ribs, whatever they want. And that's it. You know, they're not into making a cook 14 hours long. And we don't do much for those folks, really. That's my thought.
I just don't. There are so many weird things. So first of all, I think the way it's structured right now is the best shot for it to rebound into something like it had been in years past. But I just don't know if there is that much of an interest to recapture all of it.
Yeah.
But I don't even know where the benefit of membership is. So if somebody said, should I join? I can't sit there and sell them on these are the five or six or seven best points of why you would want to be a KCBS member, especially if you're not cooking. And oh, by the way, you don't have to be a member of the KCBS in order to be a competitive cook, which I think is an absolute travesty. You want to drive membership. You want to make a little bit more revenue. Why wouldn't you mandate that you have to be a member of this sanctioning body in order to cook at it? I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me. That would be the first thing that I would push. But, I mean, this is just kind of where we're at right now. Yeah. And I love KCBS. I love all barbecue sanctioning bodies because they are at the heart trying to push the agenda of live fire, which we all like. And if people just want to be a member and enjoy what they're getting out of that, fine. That's absolutely up to them. And there you go.
Yeah. And you know, anything in my competitive years and back with the horses and stuff, you had to be a member. In fact, you had to be a member of a couple of different organizations and able to compete. It was mandatory. You couldn't compete if you weren't. You could go to the Podunk Punk and Roller local play day show, that was fine. But if you take any other sport too, if you're going to play competitive tennis, if you're going to play, you know, anything like that, that where you're going up, you know, if you're going to play in USGA golf tournaments, you have to be a member of the USGA type thing. So yeah. it only makes, you know, sense to have, you know, to require a membership. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to cook at the Royal, and if you're going to all the expense to be there, I'm sure you could cough up the $45 to be a member.
I was just going to say, I mean, how much is it really? Are you kidding me? We're not breaking any banks here. Bone out, be a member and cook.
Yeah. So that's just, you know, I hope they do. I hope they can, right the ship. I hope they can do it. You know, one of the things that I've talked about with them back there, I talked to Carolyn Wells a number of times about this. I talked to Emily about this, and I've talked to some of the old timers, Paul Kirk and some of them about it, is that you need to get more, I don't know whether it's training or more standards when it comes to also judging. And I know judging is subjective because your palate isn't exactly the same as mine. I get that in a type of a competition, but in the competitive world I came from, we had very strict standards, certain things that had to be mandatory, so on and so forth. And, you know, a number of the people I've interviewed over the years, and I'm sure you have too, they don't like to say it out loud, but they'll grouse underneath their voice, under their breath, about the way some of the judging is done. So, you know, maybe we have to look at that too.
Jeff, my long-running stance on judging has been eliminate the way it is and do like they do in Texas. Have people come off the street, put the meat down in front of them, have them look at it, have them give it a score, have them taste it, mm-hmm. have them score it. Do you like it? Do you like it better than the other one? Assign it a score and be done with it. There's no reason to be training judges, and I certainly understand that there are plenty of judges out there that think that within sanctioning bodies, having sanctioned judges or trained judges is what sets it all apart. But there seems to be a lot of complaining about what's going on with the judging. And the easiest way to fix that is to remove a lot of whatever the perceived training is and where the judges' palates are wrong or how they're not judging it properly and saying, hey, do you like it? Does it taste good? Is it good to you? Score that.
Yep.
They do it down in Texas. It works. Have you seen how many teams are in Texas barbecue competitions compared to any other sanctioning body, except for the really big ones? Yeah. Every weekend they have more than 120 teams, 130 teams, 200 teams. It's routine.
Yep. It's great stuff, you know. And I think, you know, to kind of jump a little bit off to the right here, you know, the steak cook-off stuff, those different things that are kind of splintering off from that, I think those are great too, myself. I think they're fun and they can be more entertaining. Like you said, some of the barbecue competitions. Now, I've judged a couple. I'm not a KCBS judge or anything like that. I did some celebrity stuff like I'm sure you have along the way. But I really don't want to sit there for 8 hours, you know what I mean, and do that. You can make them, you can change stuff. Like you said, have people come in off the street, judge that. You can make some more ancillary divisions for different things, make that more entertaining. I just think there's a lot of things they could do. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. That's okay. If somebody comes up to you, and we talked a little bit about this in the regular show, and if people have never barbecued or grilled or smoked before, and you said start with live fire and all that, learning to control your fire. But again, if let's take the condo commandos in suburbia and they really can't do that, what do you recommend to them? You want to use pellets? You want to use gas? What do you want to do? I mean, we've both got both. I'm fond of the pellet stuff. I use the pellet stuff probably more than I use my gas stuff anymore. But what do you recommend?
I just like to take them through a few general questions. You know, how big is the family? 90% of the time, how many people are you going to be cooking for? Well, what about the other 10% of the time? Are you somebody that hosts a lot of weekend parties, or, you know, on occasion, will you cook up to 20 or 30 people? and start to work it that way. Obviously, establish a budget in the world of barbecue and grilling, much like every other industry. You get what you pay for. If you're going to look to buy the cheapest thing, there is an expectation that should be set in your mind immediately that it's not going to be a wildly good performing piece. It's probably not going to hold heat very well. It's probably going to be frustrating for you to operate. The end product might not be as good. So I always tell people, develop a budget on what you think you can have, and then let's start looking in that area. But then let's start looking at levels up from there. Mm-hmm. And that's both in quality and size. I've never met anybody who has bought a cooker and said, man, I wish I would have bought the smaller one. It's always the other way around. It's always, you know what, I should have jumped up to one bigger or two bigger, because all of a sudden, once they get it there, they're envisioning, well, I could do this, I can do that, I could have this many people over. It's never shrinking in the other direction. And then do you want to use charcoal? Do you want to use wood in like live fire instance? Or do you want the most convenient of methods and get to either electric or a pellet smoker?
Right.
And then, you know, once we can rough that in, then we can really start looking at manufacturers and ultimate price points.
Yeah, I think that's good sage advice. I really do, because I gave an example on another show a couple weeks back, but I had a guy call me, contacted me. This has been 2 or 3 years ago. He had never cooked in a competition, but for some reason he was hell-bent for election. He was going to do it, and he was going to be good at it. Well, maybe he was. I don't know. But before he even started, he had contacted me and said, you know, can you help me like get one of the commercial grade Green Mountains or something? I don't even remember which brand he was looking for. So I gave him the salesman's name and I said, you know, you can call him. But I really thought this guy was getting over his skis a little bit, because I didn't even know if he could, you know, cook a burger without charring the hell out of it.
Sure.
And he was talking, you know, he's not talking about a $600 cooker right now. He's talking one with five digits, you know, and you know, it's like rein up a little bit here, pal. I'm not sure you're ready for this. So it's pretty crazy.
That's a big investment.
That is a big investment. Is there anything in the world of barbecue that you want to do that you haven't done yet, Greg?
I would like to eventually get out to the American Royal and see what that's all about.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a lot of insane aspirations. I've really, through the show and over the genesis of its life, have been able to reach a lot of my goals. You know, I'm able to make a couple bucks. I'm talking to people that I never thought I would get to talk to. My Skype contact list is the who's who of the top people in the industry. And I've made a lot of great friendships. Most of them have been virtually, but every once in a while, when I get out somewhere, I'm able to meet somebody in person and really solidify that relationship. So
sure.
There aren't too many things that I think that I need to achieve. And I don't think I need to be out covering stuff live in order to bring any type of legitimacy to the show or what I'm doing. Tuesday fits in just well for what's happened over the course of the past weekend. And then we also have a couple days to set up for what's upcoming. So
right.
I think all in all, I'm a pretty satisfied guy.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. And I can tell you from the sitting in this chair, you know, people have said, even when I started this show back in 2014 or whatever it was, they said, why don't you do it live? And I said, well, it doesn't really work live, because Saturdays, when the show airs, if you're talking to a guy that runs a restaurant, he's probably at that restaurant working. If you're talking to a guy that's a competitive barbecue cook, they're probably at a competition, okay? If you're talking to an entertainer, they're usually working weekends. So that's why I like pre-recording the shows. We can, and there's no limit to what we can record or who we can, you know, entertain. And I enjoy it very much. I think it's great.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it's good. Greg, thank you so much for being with us today and taking the time. I know you've got a busy family life and you've got shows to get out this week, and I appreciate it. And we will do it again.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Greg Rempe from Barbecue Central. You can find it on the internet near you. And we'll be back next week with another edition of After Hours for Barbecue Nation. Until then, remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.